Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. We are here, your hosts, Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and Kerry. What's up, Kerry? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you. What would you like to be called?
Because I know you don't, you shy away from your last name because of association.
Kerry JK works fine.
Kerry JK. So he's going to go by. So we got Kerry JK, Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Today we are talking about losing the lazy musician cliche or stereotype. Sort of kind of how to, you know, what to focus on, how to get your butt in gear, and sort of a step-by-step way of doing that to keep you from just sort of floating around there, kind of only coming to do your thing, to do your work whenever you feel like it. Doing stuff that way will not get you very far. You know, there's an old cliche that says, the road to someday leads to a town called nowhere. I believe that's how it goes. So we want to avoid that. Just a very easy thing to fall into as a musician, especially when you're hanging around with a lot of other musicians who don't listen to podcasts like this, who aren't, you know, taking different courses or trying to improve themselves, trying to get their mindset together, trying to get their marketing together. If you're hanging around with a lot of those type of people, which is unfortunately the majority of a lot of musicians out there, you kind of fall into this, you know, don't worry about it. You know, all you got to do is, you know, just chill and you'll be great or whatever. Also, on the other flip side of it, well, the other thing that can happen to you, and Kerry and I were talking about this before we started the show today, was that you can find yourself in a position where you get so caught up in the business side of it that you forget that you're actually a musician and you need to be making music and you need to be practicing and you need to be putting out that type of content that your fans are really looking for. So we're going to help you kind of get some of that together today. On the podcast, I will post a link in the description to my affiliate, which is Jamplay. I've been using Jamplay here for a little bit now. It's a great for any level that you're at as a musician, especially as a guitar player. You can the tabs and songs and people that will handhold you through things, whether you're a beginner or whether you're more advanced like I am. I'm taking some really cool courses on improvisation and things like that. So it is definitely worthwhile, and I will put the link to it in the description in the show notes. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into it today, because this is something like if you listened to last week's show where we talked about laying that home base, you might be going like, okay, so then what do I do? Well, how do I, you know, kind of start to put things in motion? So, Kerry, why don't we go ahead and jump in? What do you have?
Sure.
I know, Kerry, I know you've been putting some notes together on this.
Well, to start with on this, I'm going to come back to the home base in a minute. And as I explained about that last week, the home base is your starting point. And it is a home base and not a prison. A lot of people are absolutely terrified of setting up a place of stylistic origin because they think that they'll be limited by it. But that's the difference between a home base and a prison. A home base is somewhere that you can go out from, come back to, and keep adding to over time. And over time, the entire appearance of it might change. So that's fine, but you still acknowledge where you came from. And you still use that to start with. Otherwise, that's your town called Nowhere. I was going to say that town has quite a large population, but not a lot gets done. And like no one's really expressing themselves. This is simultaneously a very scary time to be embarking as a musician, but also a very exciting time because like the opportunities that are out there, the fact that everybody can, all the tools are there for you to get out and express yourselves in a way that just weren't there 20, 30 years ago. Before, I mean, you could still be a DIY musician and get around and burn your own CDs like many of us did. But what you couldn't do now is like have an idea, put it out there and get it to the entire world within a week. And that's absolutely fantastic. I love that. It's this is everything I ever wanted the music industry to be. The flip side of it, though, is that you can do that and so can everyone else, which means that the competition now is huge, is bigger than ever. I've got a quote from Marshall Jefferson, And if you know who Marshall Jefferson is, he's like the father of Chicago House, DJ. And he did a radio interview last year, and I'm going to read this quote from it. And he said, there are 100,000 songs coming out every week now. When I started, there are only 25 to 50. So if everyone's the same, you have to have an image, something to promote. Are you in that crowd of 100,000 songs? And then 100,000 songs the week before that, and 400,000 songs in the month before that. So in other words, we are in like a huge crowd now getting out there, which means the pressure is on not just to be as good as you can be, but to have something to say and to have that little bit of creativity and that little bit of a spark that's going to set you aside. So it's being good. Obviously, you want to be as good as possible, but being good is like the start of the process now. You've got to be good enough to realise what you want to do. And if you cut corners, it will haunt you for this reason, because you'll be overtaken by the people who did not cut those corners. But then if you've done that and you're a fantastic musician, it's still not enough, because then you've got to figure out how to say what it is you've got to say with it. And it's a big process, but it's absolutely fascinating when you get going with it. So what we want to talk about this week is really how to set about that mindset of getting out of the small town and just stick it, strapping the bindle to your back and heading out into the big world, swimming out into the big ocean.
So what would you, what would be the first thing? Would it be to, after we sort of defined ourselves as we talked about last week, now we know that we spent one podcast talking about defining yourself, your niche. Mm. That is not enough. It might take you a very long time to do. I was in a mastermind meeting on Tuesday, and one of the guys there was talking about how, and this is not in even in the art, anything artistic related at all, just, you know, other types of businesses, talking about how it might take a couple of years just to kind of figure out what you do and what your real passions are and what your real strengths are. So I don't want to gloss over the fact that what we talked about last week was like, okay, you should have that done. This isn't like, you know, you can't listen to this podcast till you listen to the first one. But what we do want to do is say, okay, now if you do have that, and you have an idea of that, so you got to start somewhere. You're not going to have it perfect. It might take, you may evolve over time, but knowing what you do know about your niche, who you are, what you do, what would be this next step, Carrie, that we should take? Once we kind of go, okay, this is, I'm pretty sure this is where I am, at least for right now. I'm going to start here.
Yeah.
What would be the thing we should do?
Well, that's the other thing about understanding what your level is. When you're first starting out with your bedroom recordings and that as well. First of all, it's always better to be doing something than doing nothing. So always be finding something to do and something to stretch you. Also, try and put yourself in a position where you're around people who are better than you. If you find you're the best musician, and I mean, to be honest, this is something that will kill you, that will stop you in your tracks, is if you are the best artist in your local area and in your little circle. If that's happening, you need to go somewhere where you're not, because otherwise you'll never be scrapped, you'll never be stretched, and you'll just end up in a rut. So always be looking for somebody who's going to put you in your place musically. Because that's what's going to keep you hungry to keep getting better and keep improving what you do as a musician, as a writer, as a producer, all the hats you're going to put on. You want to always be looking for that.
So doing things like checking out a musician's mastermind and maybe getting involved with people like that, or there are different organizations. If you are a little limited in terms of your ability to travel, there are different organizations that you can find online within your niche, whether it is, you know, you're a vocalist, songwriter, guitarist, whatever, where you can be challenged. I was involved with something like on the guitar side of things with the Tom Hess Group, and it was definitely kick you in the butt kind of situation. And he set up like things that were friendly competition. Nothing, it wasn't ugly. It wasn't like a, you know, but it was just enough to kind of like challenge you to say, oh man, you know, I want to improve this part of what I'm doing, or I could get this a little bit better, or that guy's really kicking ass. Okay. So, you know, what do I got to do to kind of, so it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you pack up your bags and move literally to another place, but start to surround yourself. And to be quite honest with you, in terms of performing or playing, there's always somebody who's better than you.
Yeah. Here's another thing. The great thing of the internet age is that you can expose yourself to all sorts without ever leaving your house.
Right.
There's so much. And especially now, all of those things about like Spotify Play and all the links that people sort of are starting to mock a bit now about drop your links here and we're going to build playlists there as well. And the online radio and various things. Try actually listening to them. Actually do listen to what your peers are doing, especially what we do at Fresh on the Net, for example, that comes through for the listening post. When you've got things that are curated by people who know what they're doing and are putting stuff out there to try and find the absolute best. Radio Wigram, that I've just been working with, Amazing Radio. There's lots and lots of really good internet radio stations who encourage independent music and curate it and put it out there. And you will get rejected by a lot of stuff. This is another thing. Being able to handle rejection is part of this process.
Tough. It's hard for a lot of people, yeah.
And the other thing is that you probably won't even get told why it's been rejected. All you've got to do is take it in the chin and make the next one better. And you're always trying to make the next thing better. But actually do listen to what your peers are doing. And I'll tell you one thing that I hear a lot. And every time I hear it, it immediately makes me think to the person who's saying it, you're Bush League. And that thing is whenever anybody says that we're better than any mainstream act or we're better than any signed act. If anytime you're sort of saying to you, trying to convince yourself that you are better than other people that are out there on the base and basing that on absolutely nothing except your mum likes you, then that is, you know, I said before about if you find you are the best person in your local area, then you need to move out. But if you think you're the best wherever you go, and then never challenging that opinion of yourself, that's even worse because that's going to get you in that rut.
So the first thing we're talking about here then is a sort of self-assessment of sort of being very honest with where you are. We know who we are. Mm. Okay, we have an idea. It doesn't have to be perfect. This is another thing I want to sort of stress is like, just because, you know, you're still working on what we talked about last week does not mean you can't start moving. Mm-hmm. So you have an idea. And so now we're going to self-assess. We're going to say, you know, we're going to put some stuff out there. We're going to get some feedback from people. We're going to self-assess as well, saying like, really, where am I? At what level? Mm-hmm. Really, you know, I mean, it's hard to put like a number on it, but be as accurate and be as honest with yourself as possible. Even if you can't, be careful about asking friends, because your friend or your mom, as Carrie's mentioned several times, will say, you know, because they're your friend and they want you to like them, they'll say that you're good. Mm. So, you know, you have to be a little careful with that. You have to find ways to get it out there and again, getting into different songwriting forums and things like that out there where you can start floating what you have and get some real world feedback. Produce it the best you can and submit it to blogs and forums and podcasts like my podcast, like Fresh on the Net, and see what kind of feedback you get. Yeah. And if somebody says, if somebody rejects it or they, you know, that you submit it to a podcast and they don't play it, don't be afraid to ask why. Sometimes it may have nothing to do with you. It may have the fact that the guy gets, you know, 500 songs sent to him every week and he hasn't really, you know, it may be the fact that maybe he, you know, it's just arbitrary.
Yeah.
It might be that stylistically it's not a good fit. Or he or she might be able to give you good feedback. Like, you know, like I have a former student of mine, and he sent me his music. The songwriting is good. The playing is good. The production sounds like a demo. It doesn't sound professional. And I was very honest with him about having it on the podcast because I was like, it's cool, dude. Like, but get, and I even gave him some names of some people where he could send it. They would work with him virtually and they would produce it for him so that it really came out sounding like the drums were very obviously canned sounding and things. That just total giveaway that was like, I made this in my bedroom kind of, you know, thing. If it had some really awesome production, it would be something I'd be really proud to play on the show. So don't be afraid to ask. Sometimes people are like, vocally, man, I'm not into it. Or yeah. The song, you know, I have all these songs, I've got to pick the best stuff, and it just didn't, it didn't grab me. Yeah. Or whatever. I mean, so, you know, again, there's a part of grain of salt, take it to heart. You've got to find that middle area.
Absolutely.
If, really if 20 people love it, and then you've got a couple of guys that are going like, I'm not really digging the song, you might want to weigh that out. Like, well, more people are liking it than not. Because not everything appeals. There is a personal aspect to music.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, yep, as we always say. But yeah, I mean, the other thing this, because I've been on both sides of this fairly recently, is that another thing is that when things don't get picked up or don't get rejected, and it does feel like you're just like yelling into the wind, and it does feel hard. And sometimes people, and we'll get onto the shortcuts that will kill you as well. Like some people start getting, that's another thing. All these blogs, all these radio stations will have submission rules set out, and nothing winds them up more than when people either plain don't read them, or do read them and then try to get cute. And
make sure, that's a good point, guys. Make sure that, like, if this blog or the podcast or the internet radio station, whatever, needs these five things to happen before they'll play your song, make sure you do the five things.
Yeah. And another thing, don't start getting cute about, like, look at me breaking the rules. Like, what am I like? Because they'll just remember you as a nuisance. If they remember you as a nuisance, you're going to lose the benefit of the doubt.
The only people that get away with that are people that are like the next Van Halen, or, you know, the next Bob Dylan, or the next David Bowie.
Imminently the next Van Halen.
What was that?
It would have to be imminently the next.
Yeah, you know what
Halen
I mean. But I'm saying that, like, the people. I mean, unless you are, what you have is so special and so amazing, and you're totally confident in that, you know, you probably may think that, you're probably not that. But unless something like that is happening, then idea of breaking the rules to get in or whatever, it's not going to pretty much happen for you. So
anyway, let me, before we move on, let me tell you what those guys will actually be doing when they've listened to your track. And they do listen to their track, to the tracks. And there will be about 500 that week that they've got to get through. And they can't give feedback on all of them. It's just not enough hours in the day. So what will happen then? They'll probably notice that. And they think, okay, that's not right now, is not your time. But there will be a seed planted, and they will notice something. If they think you've got something, they'll be looking out for you next time. There's a lot of bands who I hear every week on different lists, and I think, okay, this isn't ready yet, but I'm rooting for them to get it together at some point in the future, because they've got something, they just haven't found it yet.
Right.
And I can't really go through and tell them, because there's just too many of them, but I do watch them from afar.
Yeah.
And sometimes these people will, I'll watch what they do, or I might sort of get to know them on social media. I'll see what they're doing, and I'll say, okay, this is another reason for always being positive on social media and a positive part of the community. Because if you start pissing and moaning and just being a general jerk on social media, then those people who are watching you from afar will notice.
Right. Yeah.
And then you will lose the benefit.
Okay. That is really a lazy musician tactic, to get on there and criticize the platform, or criticize the blogger, or criticize the radio station or whatever. There's nothing that screams I'm an amateur than doing stuff like that. So don't do that. Take it in stride. Write the next song. Put out the next EP, go play the next show, and just keep moving forward and constantly be honing at that craft. So do we have some, because one of the things we talked about when we were putting this together today, Gary, was not only self-assessment but goal setting. So do you have some, like, some maybe bullet points where people, you know, should say, okay, these might be the next three things you should be looking to do?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we I'm gonna pull out a cliche. And I don't generally like pulling out things from sort of general project management and the usual training, but this is actually useful.
Okay.
Heard of this? Smart targets.
SMART.
Smart targets. And this is something that gets that you hear about in businesses and project management workshops, but it is actually useful. And what it is about a way of figuring out what your targets are going to be. And the point is, I mean, you can say that I'm going to have the target of playing guitar better, or doing this, or selling 1,000 records, or whatever. I mean, selling 1,000 records is a bit better, but Just saying being better at guitar isn't a decent target, because of course you're going to do that. If you're not trying to do that, then I don't know what to tell you. But what smart targets are is it actually sets up what those targets are going to be, and it makes you accountable for the outcomes. And it's an acronym. So the first word is specific. You need to say exactly what it is that you're going to do. Not just I'm going to play guitar better. I am going to be able to play this particular song that's I can't do yet. I am going to sort out this idea that's been in my notebook, but I've just kept throwing it back because I'm not good enough to do it yet. And that's why that target has to be M is for measurable. You need to know when you've done it. And so just saying I'm going to be better at guitar, then you can sort of say I'm better at guitar now. But no, actually put something that you could put a number on this.
I'm going to be able to play Eric Johnson's Cliffs of Dover note for note in six months.
Yeah, there you go. And that's another thing. I mean, that gets to the last one, T, which is time-based. Set yourself an actual time deadline on there.
Okay, what's so A? I'm trying to take notes on this. What's the A?
I only said that because you jumped ahead of me then. You said you said when that was, and you came back. A, it has to be attainable. It's no good setting targets that you're just never going to do. What you want is something you can't do yet, but something that you're not too far off of.
Okay.
Because if you set a target that's just ridiculously difficult, like I'm going to be a better guitarist than Eddie Van Halen by tomorrow, then that's a target you're never going to meet. And if you have too many targets you're not going to meet, then you're going to get demoralized. The whole thing, the wheels are going to fall off the wagon.
Okay.
I've got to say, I actually think A&R, I mean, by the way, the specific words that people assign to this do change, but these are pretty much what they are. I think A&R often are pretty much the same thing, attainable and realistic. Because I think the main difference between attainable is knowing that it's something that you can do possibly, but realistic also starts to bring in other things that might be stopping you. Like saying, for example, I'm going to become a whiz at drum miking, but I haven't got any drum mics yet. That means you've got another step there that you've got to sort of get out of the way first before something's done.
Maybe the first goal should be I'm going to get some drum mics.
Yeah, that's it. Or I haven't got a room where I can make enough noise to record live drums yet. So that's something else that's going to start. So you've got to be realistic about what barriers are going to be in the way. And there's some barriers you can overcome, and there's some that it's going to take time to overcome. So in the meantime, you might want to set a different target. But that's what smart targets are. And when you use something like that...
Let's review them real quick for those... Yeah. Because not everybody's looking at the video. People are just listening. The first one is specific, so be specific. The next one is something measurable, so that you can measure, you know, you're going to have X done, blah, blah, blah. The next thing is...
So you know that you've done it.
And next two are attainable and realistic. So it's something that you can actually do, and something that you can actually pull off and measure. So it's something that, you know, not something so up high in the sky for you. That doesn't mean you couldn't do it in 5 years. That means, like, you could get it done. We're talking about maybe, I mean, in terms of time-based too, which is the last one, is T. I think that, just to put my own two cents and my own spin on this is, I think when you're starting, you need to find, well, what can I get done in the next 30, 60, 90 days, as opposed to what am I going to get done in the next 5 years? So many things can happen to you in 5 years. In 5 years, you may look back at that goal you wrote and you go like, I don't even want that. Why the hell would I want to do that? So I think it's better to sort of say, okay, what do I want my life to, what do I want my music career to look like? Okay, and we'll break it down. And what is attainable in 30, 60, 90, maybe even 120 days? Let's keep it under a year. Because also, when you limit the time, and Carrie and I, you know, you and I have talked about this before. When you limit that time a little bit, you find ways to work a little smarter, speaking of smart, and get around things a little quicker. And you will move faster by move. So, okay, so here is, we're in October. What is going to happen between October 1st and October 31st? Okay. And then what is going to have to happen each week? And then what's going to have to happen each day? So now you can really break it up into something that's manageable, aka attainable slash realistic. As opposed to going like, I'm going to win a Grammy Award. Okay, I want to win a Grammy Award, you know, in you know, 7 years from now. I mean, that is a giant, that yeah. Most people cannot get their minds around all the things that it's going to take to do that. Why not? I'm going to release a song this month.
Yeah.
Why? So what has to happen on the first day of the month? I mean, the first week of the month. What has to happen the second week of the month? What happens? So those are the kind of things. Once you break things down like that, I hate to say it's actually easier than trying to have these really like long-term things with all these, like, it's like an octopus with all these different arms. And if this happens and that's going to happen, it's too much for most people to get their minds around, especially if you are an adult musician, you're no longer living at home. You're responsible for feeding yourself, paying your rent or whatever. That's too much. Get those shorter goals and build those shorter goals up to your more long-term goals. See where they take you. So say, you know, my goal is to, you know, release an album or release a song every month for the next 3 months. And then my 120-day goal is to have 500 people that are like really engaged fans. Okay, so I'm releasing the music. Then that second part of that goal is getting those people. So I'm going to continue to release music. I'm going to continue to. So you could start putting that type of stuff together. So you can build a fan base around. I mean, I said 500. Maybe for you it's 100, 150, 250. So maybe it's like I'm releasing a song each month. And each month I'm going to bring another 100 people into my circle. The people that are like really digging the type of music that I make. I'm going to find those people. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. Maybe I'm going to start listening to more podcasts like this. Maybe I'm going to take some courses. You know, maybe I'm going to get involved in, you know, maybe I'm going to hire a marketing person to help me. I don't know what all that looks like. But if you don't set those goals and make them short enough that they seem in reach, if it's 6, 7 years, 5 years, that is, you know, there's you know the cliche, Kerry, right? You've gone to job interviews and, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, this is like crazy. Break it down, keep it simple. And, okay. So the next thing that we have, you told me, and I don't know how closely you want to stick with our original notes here for today, but I think that this goes nicely into finding challenge and opportunity, because by challenging yourself with this, you know, I've got to crank out a song in a month. Oh my God. You might find by challenging yourself like that, you may find ways of writing songs that are pretty slick and pretty cool and like little short, I don't mean shortcut in a bad way, that like you're cheapening what you're doing, but just really efficient ways to work around things. There was a 1 hour songwriting challenge that went around. Mary Splendor and a bunch of guys, Rhett Scholl and a bunch of guys like that on YouTube were doing, and it was really fascinating to watch that. And if you don't know what that is, just go to YouTube and search 1 hour songwriting challenge. But those kind of things will sharpen you. That's what the industry is, you know, in today's fast-paced world, that's what the industry is looking for. Can you get it done? Can you get it done quick? And can we get on to the next thing? So challenge and opportunity. What do you got there?
And necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right.
That's what that is. And another favorite quote was Quincy Jones, who said various versions of this quote over time. And that was, my biggest fear was always not being ready for an opportunity. Because when an opportunity comes along, you're either ready for it or you're not. And if you've put off all of that work about getting better and being able to do that, then that opportunity will go away and it won't come back. If your reputation as well as being somebody who can't meet that challenge, then less opportunities are going to come as well. Whereas if you do get things done and you get a reputation as a doer, then more people are likely to ask you to do things.
Look at how other people are doing stuff too. To go back to YouTube is your Bible. And there are tons of musicians freely sharing their tips, shortcuts, workarounds, hacks out there. RJ Ronico, he's featured in Guitar Player Magazine a month or two ago. He's got an insanely popular YouTube channel, shared on one of his videos on how he, because he creates these really awesome tracks to like demonstrate whatever he's going to do in the video. So at the beginning, there's this really cool track that he plays, and he did a video on exactly how he does it. And I just thought that he had, you know, he played all the instruments. No. It's all done with the magic of computers and some plugins that are very, very reasonable that you could use to kind of create song like templates or beds maybe to base songs off of. If you go and listen to his channel, Pete Thorne's channel, these guys are put at the beginning of the show. They play these really awesome pieces that could be songs if you just kind of work them up a little bit, and they showed how they did it. And you can start to put together stuff, at least have a, that would set you much farther ahead for your next session. So then the next session is setting down and, you know, starting to peel back some of the computer generated stuff and making it a little more organic and starting to putting your lyrics together. But you could be way farther ahead of the game by you. So that's just one example of stuff that's out there to speed this whole process up. It's not that we want to cheapen it. It's not that we, you know, but sitting around and just waiting for inspiration to strike.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, there's that happen.
This comes to something you said earlier about working smarter. And then when you've got a deadline, it forces that. There's something else about this. And there's that, again, that old cliche about like setting off into the old creative retreat. And there was a band I once knew who went off for a year to do this. And I saw him at the end of that year. So I say, hey, how's it going? And I said, oh, you know, we've done a lot more drugs than music. So, well, that's no bloody good, is
no.
it? We went off to do music.
And that is, you hear that over
yeah.
and over. And when there were only 25 songs being released a week, maybe you're good enough that you could get away with that. But not when there are 25,000 songs or whatever it is being released every week.
Yeah, that, you know? Those days are over.
Yeah, so like this, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. You have to kind of weigh that out for yourself because part of creating music, like we talked about last week, is your life and what you do in your life and the experiences you have in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of them. But now is not the time to be like, you know, trying to figure out how much partying, you know, you're going to do. So finding we're kind of on finding challenge. So the challenge is, what can you get done and to structure that in a way that gets you on some type of work schedule with it. Right, Carrie? I mean, this is this is a business. I mean, I can't go to my auto business and just run it like a free for all. It's got to be like, okay, we're going to do this. Then we're going to do this. Then we're going to do this.
Yeah. And by the way, not everything you write is going to be good. Yeah. But you write all of it. You keep doing it. This is another thing. When we talk about, I mean, like the DistroKid has the slogan, be prolific. And there is that encouragement there. They don't know the half of it. You're going to be so prolific that however much you put out, you're going to leave probably at least three times as much on the shelf. Because that's what it takes to get to the good stuff. But you go through it. And the more crap you write, the more good stuff you write. So always be doing something. Have a notebook with you. Always be filling it up. Don't be afraid to do something that's a load of crap when you're writing there, because you never know what's going to pan out. I've had stuff that I thought was gold when I wrote it that just died in a ditch. And I've had other stuff that I wasn't really feeling when I wrote it down, but I thought, well, maybe it'll turn into something. And it did. And some of those ended up becoming my best songs. So always be doing that process. Be ready to... even then, if you think about that sort of fractal nature of it, I was saying before about the blogs and the DJs are going to reject most of their stuff. You should reject most of your stuff as well, because that makes sure that you're putting the best stuff through. And again, it's a long process to get into, but the more you do, the better you get. And you also get to realize what you're good at and what you need to do to be better. And yeah, it's hard work, but it should be, because this is what you do.
Just to put it in perspective a little bit more before we move on to the next topic, is you, Johnny Mercer, who was a very famous songwriter in the 40s and 50s, has said, "I write for the trash." So he's just writing it as if he's already kind of half going like, "I'm probably going to throw this in the garbage. I'm probably not going to do anything with this." But so that takes all the, that allows you to sit down and work without all the sort of like, "Oh my God, this better be a hit. This is it." You know, blah, blah, blah. And I have to tell myself sometimes is when I'm working on something and I'm going to go, "I'm not really crazy about it." I go like, "This is not the last song you're ever going to write. Okay, you know, you're going to write another song after this and another one after that. You're going to do it all the time." And the more you do that, the more you will kind of get used to this idea. Then you can kind of step back and go like, "You know, that one's pretty good. That one maybe needs work. That one I don't like at all. We're just going to kind of put it over there or whatever." And this is how these guys crank out. I mean, the guys that you love, the guys that are the songwriting songwriters, the Tom Waits, the Bruce Springsteens, the Bob Dylans, the David Bowies, all these guys, they have tons more music that you've never heard because, you know, they're doing it. So don't let your ego, I guess what we're trying to say, get in the way of your work. You have to let the ego go and just say, "This is just my work. This is what I do." And I have a vocal coach who always says, "It's just practice." Mm-hmm. Just look at everything as it's practice. I'm just practicing. And that, again, takes all, and you can just kind of, "Well, I'm just practicing. And speaking of practicing, the last thing we had on our topic for today is finding time to practice. And we don't just mean sit down and practicing scales or vocal exercises or whatever. We're talking about practicing, doing your work, doing your, as a doctor would say, it's my practice. This is your practice.
getting better at what you do.
Right.
And this comes back to what we started from. So we've sort of gone full circle here. But you're always looking for that way to get better and to be better. Talk about the difference between amateurs and professionals. Amateurs, when they hit the point where they think they're good enough, or they think they're the best in the local area, or they think as they could as they can be, that's it. Learning is over. And when that happens, then you've reached your career ceiling and the only way is down. And to be honest, the chances of that being anywhere near where you wanted it to be is minimal. That's why, especially it's called plateauing. When you get to that point where you don't know how to progress or you don't want to progress, you're always looking for a way to break through those plateaus and find more ways to go. So it's always looking for that challenge and keeping your practice up, never stopping learning. However good you think you are, you can always be better. However good your last record is, the next record needs to be better. However good the last gig was, the next gig needs to be better. So always be trying to make the next thing you do better than anything. So now practice. There is actual instrumental practice. You've got to be able to play your instrument. You've got to be able to do the technical sides of things. You've also got to learn enough about the art of what you're doing so that when you have that idea, you will be able to go straight down and get it into something that's real. There's nothing worse than having an idea and just not being able to express it. So you want to have all the things in place that means that you'll be able to think, "Oh, that's the idea. This is how I'm going to do it. Great, I'm there now." And just shorten that process. So this is what your practice is. It's setting up your entire field of expertise and musicianship so that when you do have that idea or that job to do, you'll be able to do it quickly. I've said this when I'm teaching or the rest of it, probably about 90% of the things you learn at any given point, you will never use until one day. And on that one day, you'll be able to pull it out of the bag and it will make whatever it is you get, and it will be the answer to whatever problem it is. And on that day, it will be worth having learned it 30 years ago or whenever it was. Because not only have you learned that, everything that goes around it that led it to that, all the processes that gave you that. Because that's the other thing. When you learn something, you don't just learn that one thing. You learn everything that led to it, the reasons for doing it, who's using it and who's having success with it. So even if you don't have a use for it at that particular time, one thing you might at some point in the future, but also you've got a wider understanding then of how maybe that's not going to be useful, but it is going to lead you onto something else that will be right. So always be looking, always be increasing your general expertise. By the way, what being good at your instrument actually looks like isn't set in stone either. It isn't just about being able to play great classical pieces or being able to do Yngwie Malmsteen guitar solos. What it does mean is being able to do what you do as best as possible. And sometimes it might be, like if you're in a prog rock band, then you're going to have technical chops. But if you're in a punk band, then it's going to be more about being able to deploy the right techniques to realise a concept. And that means not just playing the notes, but knowing how to make it feel right and making the audience feel something that you're trying to get there. Or knowing that, yeah, it's simple chords, but what about your guitar tone? Maybe it'll be about something about the sound you're going to use. But anyway, here's what I ended up with. And I'm going to leave this as a bit of a cliffhanger because it'll be too long to go through it today. But I call this Mop Top.
Okay.
And Mop Top is a holistic approach to musical practice. And by the way, it's 24/7. Because if you're an artist, art is 24/7. And that's why mental is at the top of it. But the quick headlines here, and I will break these down next time. Mental is basically what you do 24/7. It's when you get to know where you are as an artist. You get to know where it is you want to be. You see who else is doing what you want to be doing. Who else is doing what you want to be doing but doing it badly so you can avoid their mistakes. And just learning everything you can about being an expert at it. Physical is making sure you can physically get around what you need to do. Because if you're not looking after your fingers and your body, then you're just not going to be able to get around your instrument properly. Technical is the actual technical exercises everyone thinks of when they talk about musical practice. But again, they're a means to an end. And performative, It's performative. Performative is everything connected with actually performing art and performing music and communicating your ideas to people. So that's the headlines on this, but we're going to save the details for next time.
We will get
because that's a big, big topic.
We'll get deeper into that next time. I just want to add a couple of more thoughts to this idea of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, Carrie, I'm not sure, are you familiar with the author Armistead Maupin? Do you know who he is?
I'm not. No, I don't know.
He's a writer, you know, he's won tons of awards, bestseller, mm-hmm. Tales of the City, a bunch of stuff like that. But he was interviewed one time and they was asked, you know, do you only write? Do you have a schedule for writing or do you only write when inspiration strikes? And he says, I only write when inspiration strikes. Fortunately for me, inspiration strikes sharply at 8 a.m. every morning.
That's great.
So you have to sit down and you've got to practice your art, whatever that is. If it's the singing, if it's the songwriting. For us, if you're an independent musician, it's probably a handful of things. It's the singing. So for me, it's the singing, songwriting, guitar playing, producing. Sit down and do it. The hardest part of all of this is the sitting down to do it. Once you get in your space, your studio, your man cave, wherever it is you do your thing, that is the hardest part. Get there, sit down, and get to work. If you can get over that resistance to getting there, because you'll hear all kind of voices. You hear all kind of voices in your head. Oh, you know, you really should do this. You're too tired. It's too late. I don't want to get up that early. What else? Nobody cares about your songs anyways. You might as well just, you know, or, you know, you don't even have a band. This is one thing that ran through my head a lot of times. You're not even in a band. So why are you even like screwing around with this? Whatever your voice in your head is telling you to keep you from sitting down. Once you sit down to do your work, sit down at the computer or sit down with your guitar or sit down at the piano or sit, whatever you do, sit down at your samplers or whatever it is that you do. Once you get there, then usually the work from there will flow. That doesn't mean it will be easy, but you will be, you're now in that space. Getting to that space is the absolute toughest thing and it to get to. There's some little mental games, a little few mental gymnastics you can go through that I can, that I'm going to give you guys one or two here right now to help you. I read a great book about it's called the Willpower, what was it called? The Willpower Instinct. And I will put it linked to that in the notes as well. But the Willpower Instinct is a great book, and it gives you a lot of tools for overcoming these little mental hurdles. One of the things that I do all the time is like, okay, I'm going to give it 5 minutes. I'm going to sit, I'm going to come down to the studio, 5-10 minutes tops. I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this, but I'm going to give it 5 minutes. I almost am never down here for 5 minutes. 5 minutes before I know it is 25. Maybe it's an hour. Maybe it's 3 hours. Okay. But if I didn't make it easy in my mind, like 5 minutes, I can do 5 minutes. I'm not, you know, that, because if you can't do something for 5 minutes, then you feel kind of guilty, right? Like I must be a real bum. Yeah. You know, anybody can do something for 5 minutes. I actually read a blog by a guitar teacher saying that he tells his students to only practice for 4 minutes a day, because that's about the length of a song. And, so that is a little kind of like way to kind of crowbar your ass off the couch and into your workspace without putting a lot of pressure on yourself. We all make it up in our minds that it's going to be so much harder and everything worse than it is. Once we sit down and we start working on it, usually things start to flow. The other game you want to play with yourself, that sounded really disgusting, is you want to take all pressure off the table to do something great. I'm making air quotes. To do something great. Just do something. When I sit down, one of the things I'm terrified of is lyrics. I've been writing lyrics my entire life. I don't know why. All these years later, it still scares me to write lyrics. What I do with lyrics, though, is I don't allow myself to try to write anything great. I just like, okay, I'm just going to write. I'm going to take 5 minutes and write something. And like I said, that 5 becomes 10, 15, whatever. And once you're just doing the work and you, the ego, and you don't put the pressure on it for it to be quote unquote great or amazing, or, you know, in my case, you know, I'll use an old man reference, you know, write the next Stairway to Heaven or whatever. Then I look back at what I did, but you know, that's cool. And I like that. And I'm going to put this with that. And before you know it, I have something that, like, I'm like, nah, this isn't too bad. This actually worked out okay without it being a giant struggle. So those two things, set just a very short play, make this little bargain with yourself that you're going to do it for 5 minutes. And the other little bargain with yourself is like, I'm just going to work. I'm literally going to work for that time. And I'm not going to get too wrapped up in how great it is. So if I sit down to work, like I mentioned on Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson, say something for some reason I want to be able to cover it or whatever, I'm going to spend 5 minutes on it. And I don't care how good I get at it. I'm just going, but I am going to be concentrated. I'm going to be engaged with that for 5 minutes. Do those two things. If you can do those two things, you will transform everything you're doing, because you'll apply that to everything you do. We haven't really talked too much about literal marketing things to do and everything like that, but even stuff like that, you can apply to this. So I'm going to put the show notes to two books. The War of Art and The Willpower Instinct. Really important. We can get them on Audible. If you're like me, you don't have time to sit down and like read. You can get a lot out of them. So I'm going to put those in there. So that's my sort of closing ideas for the week. Carrie is going to start off next week with what is it again?
Mop top.
So you guys want to know, beyond the reference to the Beatles, this is going to be something we're going to be getting into next week. So, Carrie, anything you want to add or anything before we wrap up for today?
No, I think we're about there. What I will say, though, one last thing on practice. I said about finding time to practice, and when you look at it, it does look impossible to do, because you've got you've got a day job, nothing wrong with that. You've got to keep the lights on somehow. And even if you're making money just from music, life demands compromise, and the music you're making probably won't be the music you want to be making. So, but this is all good. This is all part of it. But do you know who else has works day jobs and does something for passion? Olympic athletes.
It's a really great comparison, man.
And when you watch that, these are guys who give their all to something and all looking forward to one opportunity that comes every 4 years. And they might not even meet that, but they do it because it's who they are and what they do. And we're talking about like proper Olympic athletes who are amateurs, who aren't paid for it. And they might have, rather than the sponsor, the pros who get parachuted in sometimes, but they do it because they're passionate about it. And then they go and work their jobs and they do whatever it takes to make it happen. It's all about the dream and it's all about who they are and what they do. So once you have that attitude, time falls away. And whatever problems there were there, when it is your passion, you find a way somehow. And going back to what we said before about that band who went off and just ended up doing a lot of drugs instead, there's a guy called C. Northcote Parkinson in the 1950s who coined something called Parkinson's Law. And that law was time expands to fill work expands to fill the time available. Yeah. So if you go off with like an open time to get something done forever, it will take you forever.
Forever. You will never have it.
But if you are in this situation where the pressure is on that you have to get these things done on two rehearsals a week or whatever that you've got the time for, or however much time, then you are going to be fucking productive during that time because you have to be. Yeah. So that band who went off there and just did nothing but drugs in their creative retreat, they'll probably emerge a year later to find that everyone who carried on with their day jobs have long since recorded and toured their albums in the free time because they had to.
Yep, yep. Well, and the Olympic comparison to the Olympians is awesome, man. I can't believe I never thought of that before. I heard that before. That's excellent, Carrie. And that is a great way to think about it because these guys bust their ass. They're not getting paid, but they're doing it for passion. And they get an opportunity that might happen for them in 4 years. Might. Mm. That's absolutely excellent. And the idea of work expanding, we've mentioned this on the talks before. That's a very powerful concept. You know, I'm thinking right now about my band. We're rehearsing once a week, and you know, my gut is like, we need to be, you know, we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to have to practice three times a week. No, we're going to have to just make sure that we find ways to make that time as efficient as possible so we can meet the goals that we have. I think that's a great way to close there, guys.
And of course, part of that then is everyone in that band. So that you know you're going to be efficient during that time. It means everyone shows up ready to rock.
Yeah, we're that isn't a problem we have. Okay, guys, great talk today. Self-assessment, goal setting, SMART. We talked about that challenge and opportunity, and then finding this time to practice what it is that you do. Good lesson today, Carrie J. K. Thank you. Awesome. Anything you want to plug or anything before you go?
No, we're just doing it. Oh, by the way, these notes, I do have these on my Mabno blog. If you go to mabno.net, you will find notes on much of what we're discussing at the moment. And the mop top bit that I'm going to tell you about next week, there's some articles on that if you want to get a head start. And I'll tell you more about it all next time.
Excellent. You can find out more about the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind and all other Ludini-related stuff at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. We are undergoing some big changes there. Some exciting stuff's going to be happening in the next few months, so check back often at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out. Carrie, as always, thank you. And we'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.